Ron talked about living stones this morning. I'm going to talk about living bones. We're going to be looking at the prophet Ezekiel today. And Ezekiel was one of three prophets who wrote during the time of the Babylonian exile, Jeremiah and Daniel being the others. And the Jews at that time had been dispersed throughout the Chaldean Empire. And it was a hopeless situation. But as we go through it, you're going to see that God had not forgotten them. And the prophet reveals that God indeed, through this terrible time, always had a plan and a process in place for their restoration. Ezekiel 37, we're going to read Ezekiel as it's known, the prophecy of the dry bones. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many of them on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Again he said to me, prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I'll cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. And I'll put sinews on you and make flesh grow back on you and cover you with skin and put breath in you that you may come alive and that you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked and behold, sinews were on them and flesh grew and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. And he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished and we're completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'll open your graves. I'll cause you to come out of your graves, my people, and I'll bring you into the land of Israel. And then you will know that I am the Lord and I have opened your graves and raised you and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. And I will put my spirit within you and you will come to life. And I will place you in your own land, and then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. So we have a striking picture here of an entire valley, a dry valley, a large valley, just littered with dry, parched bones. The bones of thousands and thousands of people as far as you could see in the valley, scattered about. And then we have, as you see in the vision, that these bones are going to come to life again. In the first 10 verses, we have the vision, and then the next four verses, we have the interpretation. This all began back in about 600 BC when the Babylonians came into invaded Judah and drove the inhabitants out. That was the way they conquered countries in those days. They scatter them about out of their homeland, and obviously they would lose power, they would lose direction, and that's where we are at the time of this prophecy, that Ezekiel is prophesying to that reality that the people had been scattered and they were in a bad place. And as far as Israel goes, and we'll get to that later, it said he was prophesying about Israel, their restoration was and still is a process, and that's what I want to talk about today. Ezekiel's prophecy to the dry bones speaks of God's faithfulness to deliver his people from hopeless situations. And this restoration isn't always or isn't usually instant, but it proceeds along the lines of a process and a plan that God has laid out for that particular situation. But I don't want to talk so much today about Israel, but I want to use this to hopefully encourage somebody or all of us to grasp the truth that no matter how dead and dry the bones may be in a situation that you're going through, that God has a plan for you. And he's laid out a process. This problem that you're going through, this extended trial, has not caught God by surprise. And he has a way of escape for you. And there's a process whereby your bones are going to live again. You know, you maybe you've been waiting a long time. Maybe this trial has gone on, and you've just been waiting and waiting for things to improve, but you've done all you can think of, done everything you can do, or maybe you've done nothing because it's so hopeless. Maybe things have gotten worse instead of gotten better, but don't despair. God has a plan and a process to revive your pile of dry bones at his appointed time. In Ezekiel 1 and 2, it's 37, 1 and 2, it reads, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and they were very dry." Can you imagine the scene that Ezekiel was dropped down into? Is all these bones, now these weren't little skeletons like you see hanging up around Halloween time. These bones were just littered all over the place. There was not bone upon bone. There was heads here and legs here, and they were piled up, and they were just everywhere. And Ezekiel was, he's told him to pass among them, and I'm sure he was finding places for his feet to step. It was just a jumble of bones. And how many were there? Well, enough bones that it says in verse 11 that it says it represented the bones of the entire nation. So there were thousands and thousands of bones out here. And the Lord says, pass around them, walk around in that, Ezekiel. So he wanted to give him the scope and the hopelessness of the situation. And as Ezekiel's walking about, just trying to grasp in his mind what he was seeing, the Lord spoke to him, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I'm sure Ezekiel, there was a pause, and his eyes and his head were probably darting back and forth, and his mind was spinning. Of course, how can these bones live? These bones can't live. Look at this. And he's, how do I answer? Why is he asking me this question? "Oh Lord, thou knowest." I don't know, Lord, but you know. It's a wise answer. "I don't know. You tell me, Lord." Now, this is an important point here. The prophet acknowledges here that the situation in front of him is beyond his understanding. "Lord, I've got no clue as to what to do with this mess." So what he does is he humbles himself and he seeks the wisdom of God in the situation. And that's the first lesson we have to learn when faced with our valley of dry bones, is to humble ourselves before the Lord and say, "Lord, I can't do it. I'm going to have to ask you. I'm going to have to seek your wisdom." In Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, it reads, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, here's just a great, great couple verses of scripture. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you." Amen. Well, there's a whole lot there. Humble yourself, and the Lord is going to exalt you. He's going to exalt you at the proper time, maybe not right now, maybe not tomorrow, but at the proper time that he has assigned, he's going to exalt you. Cast all your anxiety on him. Don't try to bear it yourself. And why can you do all this? It says, because he cares for you. He cared for Israel. That's why he's going to restore Israel, and he cares for you. And he knows about your situation, and he's working it out. So humble yourself before God. "Lord, I'm overwhelmed, but I know you can take care of it in your way and in your time." Verse 4. "Again, he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." So Ezekiel's deferred to the Lord. He's humbled himself before the Lord. And now the Lord gives Ezekiel some instructions as to what he's to do. And what is he to do? He's to speak the word of the Lord to the dry bones. You know there's power in God's word? So we're getting to the second lesson here. In your trial of your dry bones, speak the word of God to that situation. There's a whole lot of scriptures that you can, each situation is different, and there's scriptures that'll fit your situation. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, which we just read, is good. Romans 8, 28, all things work together for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And it's okay to remind God of his word. Don't feel you're being presumptuous. Or in Psalm 119, 49, and 50, the psalmist says, Remember the word to thy servant, which thou hast made me hope. This is my comfort and my affliction, that thy word has revived me. So speak to the Lord. Lord, remember. I remember what you said. Isaiah 43, 26. Put me in remembrance. Remind me, in other words. Let us argue our case together. God saying, remind me, is his way of saying to you, remember. Remember what I said. In Psalm 91, 15, he says, he will call upon me, I will answer him, I will be with him in trouble, I will remember him and honor him. Or if you want to, if you're repeating it and saying it to the Lord, you could say it this way. You will I will call upon you and he will answer me. He will be with me in trouble and he will rescue me and honor me. Amen. Isn't that comforting words? Psalm 46, 1 through 7. We're talking about, in your time of trial, get into God's word and speak that word, because there's power in that word. And it's going to build your spirit and build your faith as you speak. And God is pleased when you read his word. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, or if this valley of dry bones is just beyond my comprehension. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. God would help her when morning dawns, and the nations make an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. He's a very present help in time of trouble. O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 5, thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I'll cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life, and I will put sinews on you and make flesh grow back on you and cover you with skin and put breath in you that you may come alive and you will know that I am the Lord. Now, we all know that God could have just said, Ezekiel, you see this valley of dry bones? Bang! They're a great army of people. But that isn't the way he did it. There was a process that he had planned to go through. We had the sinews and the flesh and the skin and the breath. So the Lord lays out the process to Ezekiel, the way these bones are going to come to life. And interestingly, here he says that in verse 5, he says, I'll cause breath to come to enter you. And then he ends verse 6 with the same thing. And if we look ahead and we see what the actual process, the breath was the last thing that in the process. So why did he mention it up at the beginning and then mention it again at the end? And I would say it's because of emphasis, because it's the breath. It's the breath of God, the Spirit of God, that causes the life. And it's interesting that breath in this vision appears, if you just those verses that I read, it appears like seven times, and that's not to get scholarly on you, but that's the Hebrew word ruah, which is also translated in the Old Testament as spirit. And it's actually, you can see it in verse 1 and verse 14 of this vision, you can see that same word ruah is translated spirit. And I find it reads very, very well, this whole prophecy reads very well if every place it says breath, if you say spirit of a God, because I think that's the, and there are some translations that translate it that way, but I think that's, when you read it, just don't think of the air we breathe, but think of the spirit of God coming into these dry, these bodies and bringing them to life. You know, we're nothing without the spirit of God. There's no life in us without God's spirit. So where are we now? If we wanna see our dry bones come to life, we gotta humble ourselves before God, speak God's word as it fits our situation, and seek his presence. Please seek his spirit in prayer. Psalm 91:15, it says, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him. So there's a sequence. At first, you call upon the Lord. Then he's going to answer you. He's going to be with you, and then he's going to deliver you. But it starts with you coming to him and seeking his spirit. Luke 11:9, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. And I'm going to read 2 Chronicles 7:14. I had written down once, it's a formula for answered prayer, but I don't know if God has formulas. But I would say this, if you take 2 Chronicles 7:14 and couple it with 1 Peter 5:6-7, if you just get those two verses in your brain, you'll be a long ways down the road as to connecting with God and seeing your valley of dry bones come to life. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, that is repent, and I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and I will heal their land, or I will bring their dry bones to life. Now, up to this point in the vision, God has been explained to Ezekiel and giving him instructions as to what to do. Now it's Ezekiel's turn to do what the Lord has instructed him to do. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. First thing that happened, there was a noise. What was the noise? It doesn't say. It wasn't the bones coming together, because that's the rattling. There was a noise. Could have been a voice. It could have been thunder. But what it was is, in effect, an announcement, the starting gun, if you will, in a race, that God is about to do something amazing. The process is about to begin. Now commences a great rattling sound. Ezekiel's in the valley of dry bones. He's standing there, and all these bones start to move. There's bones coming from over here and bones coming from over there, and they're clicking and clacking. What an awesome sight. Just unbelievable sight that must have been, with all this movement and this rattling, and the bones are coming together in their proper place. And then we see the sinews start to come on them to bind them together, and then the flesh and the organs, and finally the skin comes on them. And what do we have now? We have a valley full of lifeless bodies now. The bones are all covered up, and we have all these bodies laying there. The process is not complete. Verse 9, the process continues. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy to the spirit. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath or the spirit, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O spirit, and breathe on these slain that they may come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the spirit came into them, and they came to life, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Now the process is complete. There's life. These bones have come to life. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God has moved, and the process of bringing those bones to life is complete. God has accomplished what no man could do. And that's what he'll do with your valley of dry bones. If you just trust him, humble yourself, speak God's word to the situation, seek his face. In verse 11, he gives us the interpretation. I guess I'll read that. And he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We're completely cut off. You ever been in that place? Ever felt like that? Or are you feeling like that, maybe?
Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you to the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord, and I have opened your graves and caused you to come out of your graves, my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land, and then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and done it, declares the Lord. So we have the vision, the prophecy, we have the interpretation. Well, we're at the end here, but we've got a couple open questions. First, how did that prophecy, Ezekiel's prophecy, play out? And secondly, what does it mean to us? What can we learn? What can we apply in the situations that we face? Now, as far as the fulfillment of Ezekiel's vision, I'm just going to touch on enough of it to make a point. The Jews have been invaded, dispersed throughout the land by the Babylonians of Nebuchadnezzar. Years passed, the people had, most of them had long lost hope. And after 70 years of this, Babylon fell to the Persian Empire. And so now the Jews were no longer under the thumb of the Babylonians, but now the Persians were in charge. It doesn't seem like much has changed. But how did this come about? Was there any significance to the fact that the Persians were now in charge? Well, it didn't just happen. See, God had already preordained this, and Jeremiah the prophet had spoke of this. Jeremiah 25, verse 11 and 12, it says, this whole land will be a desolation and a horror, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it will be, when 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation. Okay, so now the Persians have entered the picture. Babylon's been punished. God's people are still in the dry bone state. So what? So what's really changed? Jeremiah's not speaking, done speaking. In Jeremiah 29, 10 and 11, he speaks further to the situation. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I'll visit you and fulfill my word to you and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. So this didn't just happen. The Lord had put the Persians in charge for some reason. And if we go to the book of Ezra, we get some more insight into the situation. Ezra chapter 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by Jeremiah, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia, so that he sent a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of this earth, and he has appointed me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever there is among you and all his people, may his God be with him. Let him go to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, rebuild the house of the Lord God of Israel. Wow, I guess he really did stir up the king of Persia, didn't he? Now, who would ever think that something like this could happen? You know, my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. They certainly aren't. So this king comes in and says, okay, you guys can go back, get a bunch of guys together, and you can go back and start to rebuild your temple. So Zerubbabel and around 43,000 go back and to rebuild the temple. Things don't go too well. Of course, the people that are there now that have moved in aren't too happy to see them coming back, so there's a lot of opposition. Things were delayed. Persian kings came and went. The proclamation of Cyrus got lost somewhere in the archives, and the king in charge says, that's it, no more building the temple. So it looks like God's plan is dead in the water. But more kings come and go, and Darius becomes the king of the Persians. And through a series of events, the decree by Cyrus is unearthed, and Darius says, by all means, go back and rebuild the temple. And not only that, we're going to fund the whole thing out of the royal treasury. So now the Persians end up funding the restoration of the temple. Now, God has a plan and a process, and it's certainly nothing that we would ever cook up. And stop a minute and relate that God's ways to your own situation. You know, when Jeremiah prophesied, as the Lord told him, about the restoration, he didn't say it was going to be easy. He didn't say it was going to be quick. He just says, this is what I'm going to do. And we have these promises from God, and there's some things I prayed for years that haven't come to pass yet. But the Lord didn't say it would happen right away, but it's going to happen. And that's the way we have to approach it. So the bones have begun to rattle in Israel. Getting back to Israel, there's a long way to go, but there's been a noise and there's been a rattling. So maybe you've heard a noise in your situation. Some little glimmer of hope has started, and it looks like things might be starting to move in the right direction. Know that the Spirit of God, you think it's moving too slow, but know that the Spirit of God is moving, and there's a process, and it's coming. And it's coming. And if things get squirrely for a while and it looks like things are going backwards, don't despair. Just stay with it and stay with the Lord. The temple was eventually completed. It took about some 3 years or so. Ezra the scribe moved up to Jerusalem and started to reteach the people the word of God. And years later, Nehemiah came and rebuilt the walls. And that was met with resistance as well. And the bones continued to quietly rattle through the years, but as far as Israel goes, they went from the Babylonians to the Persians to the Greeks to the Romans. There was a lot of thumbs on God's people through the years, and there was a whole string of them. And then the Ottoman Empire had them for about 400 years. Then the British defeated the Ottomans, and the British were in control of that land. And then, what do you know? In 1948. Israel was declared a sovereign state. Out of the ashes, a nation arises, not any nation, but God's nation that he had spoke about in his word that Jeremiah had prophesied about. Now, what state is Israel in now? Are they in that sinew stage? Are they in the flesh stage? Are they in the skin stage? I don't know. Turmoil continues in that area, as you well know. And God's not done. We don't have time to get into that for sure, but Scripture says, and it's obvious to anybody that looks, that God is not done with Israel yet. That things are still working, but the process is well on its way for sure. So what's the point, okay? I want to leave you with a visual today, that your valley of dry bones that you may be walking to can come to life step by step, that God has a process for its restoration. You've not been forgotten, and you can have hope. God has his reasons for doing it in this way. And we can see, and there's a scripture in Exodus 23 when God was speaking about them entering the promised land before they had gone in. And he talked about driving out the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites, whoever was, all the ites that were in there and in their way and occupying the land. And he said this, he says, I'll not drive them out before you in a single year, that the land may not become desolate and the beasts of the field become as numerous for you that they will. So I will drive them out before you little by little until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. So God has his reasons for delaying things sometime that we can't understand, because his ways are not our ways. So trust in him through the process and know that he's faithful. Just as he spoke through Jeremiah in chapter 29, he says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, and to give you a future and a hope. You know, your dry bones are but for a season. God will cause them to come together, bone to bone, the sinews, the flesh, and the spirit. God has not forgotten you. Can these dry bones live? Oh, yes, they can. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you today.